The Japan quake hits earnings at the world's largest automaker.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. 77%. That's how much Toyota's profits dropped in the latest quarter after the earthquake and tsunami in Japan disrupted the automaker's supply chain. Let's get the details now from Marketplace's David Gura. He joins us now. Good morning, David.
Morning, Jeremy.
So profits at Toyota were the lowest in six quarters. How much of that can be attributed to the natural disasters in Japan?
Well, they had a huge effect. I talked to Ashvin Chotai, the managing director of Intelligence Automotive Asia, and he told me the carmaker had been doing a lot better, recovering from the economic slump back in 2008 and 2009, but their operations really took a hit. And Chotai said Toyota has had and continues to have problems getting the parts it needs to build its cars.
As we know, the global supply chain is quite interrelated, and what the tsunami has exposed is how dependent it is on very often one or two key suppliers, which in this case happened to be in the earthquake zone.
Another problem Chotai told me is that in the aftermath of the disasters, the Japanese government has decided to test its nuclear plants, not just the ones affected by the earthquake and the tsunami. So, Jeremy, there are power shortages and power outages across the country.
And, David, even before the disasters in Japan, there was this gas pedal issue and all those recalls at Toyota. Are those having any effect?
You know, that issue really hasn't gone away. Around 10 million cars were recalled. Ashvin Chotai told me that Toyota had made progress restoring its image. Another problem is the strength of the yen. That makes Japanese products more expensive to consumers abroad. But, Jeremy, it's really about the production problems as a result of the quake, and now Toyota may end up falling behind its rivals GM and Volkswagen.
Marketplace's David Gura, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, if your cup of coffee is more expensive than usual this morning, Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz says, don't blame him. He says speculators are causing coffee prices to soar. On a visit to the UK, Schultz said market manipulation has driven the price of beans to a 34-year high. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Last month, coffee cost an average of $2.31 a pound. That's almost double what it was a year ago. This is not due to supply and demand, claims Howard Schultz. The Starbucks chief told the BBC that speculators have been covertly pushing up the price of coffee and other agricultural commodities.
I wish there was a lot more transparency involved in the process in which we could really understand what the index funds, the hedge funds are doing. It's a very strange phenomenon.
Schultz wants the regulators to wake up and smell the coffee and investigate. But Keith Flurry, commodities analyst at Rabobank, says there's little mystery about the high coffee price. Supply is being outstripped by demand, especially in emerging markets.
There's a lot more competition for the beans internationally, not just from cafe drinkers in Europe, but cafe drinkers in China, as well as drinkers in Brazil themselves.
Helping to drive that demand, he says, is the huge growth in the number of cafes, like Starbucks, opening up around the world. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in Europe and Asia this morning. News that the Treasury Department will go ahead and sell shares of the bailed-out insurance company AIG this month. There was some debate over whether to postpone the sale because of the recent weakness in AIG's stock price. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 75 points to close at 12,760.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at Manta.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
Retailers are starting to clear space on their shelves. That's to make more room for tablet computers, which are expected to outsell laptops by next year. Tablets like the iPad are also being called the killer of the e-reader. It seems most consumers want everything in one place and on one device. We're going to talk about that now with LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Well, it sounds like everybody wants everything on one device, and companies are more than happy to make that happen.
Of course. And, you know, who wouldn't want it? Because there's a convenience factor involved here. And what this is going to mean is a number of consumer products are going to disappear, if not altogether, then gradually. And, you know, I work for a newspaper. I know all about digital technology upending existing standards. So I think we should prepare for things to disappear, if not in the near future, then coming up soon.
Well, what kinds of things do you think will be going away?
Well, look at wristwatches, for example. Young people simply don't wear them. Why? Because people just, you know, they carry around their smartphone. It gives them the time. So wristwatches will have some nostalgia value, but I don't think they're going to have a lot of staying power. CDs, DVDs, those are gimmies. They're out of here completely. Yeah. GPS devices? You're not going to need a separate one of those, not when you've got a smartphone around. And here's an interesting one, address books. You'll keep all of that stored on your whatever mobile service. I knew that that was the shape of things to come when I did that myself. And I'm the last guy to always do that kind of thing.
You got everything on your phone. Is there anything that consumers might want to keep separate?
Well, people talk about how books are facing their demise from e-readers. I just don't see that happening anytime soon. I think books will have some staying power. They're just too portable, too convenient. And here's another interesting one. Game consoles like PlayStations and Xboxes and Wiis, they take so much computing power to run the state-of-the-art games right now. I just don't know if you can pack that much power into a lightweight device like an iPad or an iPod and still have the same playability. So my suspicion is we're going to see game consoles around for a bit longer.
And David, are there any things consumers should be worried about when it comes to putting everything in one place?
Yeah, losing the darn thing. You lose your device and you've lost half your life now. So if there's any one thing I want to leave people with, it's back up your data. Back it up.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally to Okeechobee County, Florida, where a would-be bank robber forgot an important piece of equipment. He handed a note to the teller last Friday and demanded a bag full of cash. Only problem was, the teller didn't have a bag and neither did the robber. So he left and was bagged by police a few minutes later. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad apps.
Christian Dior.
Wine. We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.